What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Producer's Journal. My name is Derek, and thank you for joining me again. This podcast is for me to tell stories and bring people along for the ride with me as I am a podcast producer and deal with ups and downs, lefts and rights, with not only being a producer, but also a studio owner, hence the name or the tagline, A Podcast Producer's Journey. Last episode, I reintroduced myself yet again, started a new branding of the podcast. I called the episode Back to Basics because that's what I'm doing here. You won't hear any music. You're not going to hear any big scripted live to tape broadcast sounding read. Keeping it simple and organic. And then went in deeper to my history again. So go back to the basics to learn a little bit about how I came to be here and what I do, what the studio is. And then I capped off that episode with something current. And that is meeting a lady by the name of Wendy Johnson, who I met at one of my Business Network International meetings, who would maybe help me find advertisers to advertise on my podcasts. So we're going to touch on that. And I steamed curtains in my second room. We're going to get into all that. But so Wendy Johnson is actually a jewelry store owner, but and that's what she networks for in this BNI, Business Network International. So she can pitch and introduce people to her business in hopes that they can find people that are looking for jewelry and refer them to her. But she's also an owner of an ad agency where she takes businesses that want to just market and spread their brand around. And Wendy can help you create the ad, put you on radio, connect you to television, YouTube ads, Facebook ads, Google stuff, but nothing with podcasting. And that's what the meeting was about. We had a great meeting yesterday as we record this on the 3rd. I take that back. That was earlier in the week. I can't remember. But my mission was to just show her the podcasts that I have that are proven commodities that already to date have sponsorships, advertisers. Those two podcasts are The Real Hernando and The Rhythm Section Podcast. You're going to hear me talk about these podcasts a lot because they are a pillar of my business because, A, they're monetized, so there's some business income, but they're also, you know, proud creations of me, of the studio that I've created. It's nice to own content that garners income. I very much make the lion's share of my income, through clients, and that will never go away, and that's what I do. But I also have created some entities that have been blessed with good audiences, a large reach, engagement that not only gives an advertiser strong reach, but they also can support the cause, because everything I do is community-based. The Real Hernando spotlights our nonprofits and ministries in the city I live in, Hernando, Mississippi. And Hernando, Mississippi is, in essence, a suburb of Memphis. So the Rhythm Section Podcast is a co-host situation I do with my good friend Jeff Ward, who's also a drummer. I'm a bass player. We've played in several bands together. Bass, drums, Rhythm Section. Very original name. But that, too, garners advertisers that honestly care more about supporting, putting their name on the cause, because what we do is we spotlight musicians all throughout the beautiful city of Memphis and northern Mississippi. The meeting went well. She loved everything I got going on. I have price decks for everything. So it was a professional, air quote, presentation to her. And she thinks she can help. She already had some ideas of some businesses we can reach out to that she has connections with. In terms of the Rhythm Section podcast, she has a connection to a new music venue in South Haven, Mississippi that she will hopefully reach out to. And all of those things. Another great moment of this meeting was she asked me if I wanted to do a podcast like The Real Hernando, but for another city in the area. So there's four main cities in the county I live in, which is DeSoto County, the most northern county in Mississippi, connecting to Shelby County, which is Memphis. We have Hernando, where I live, Olive Branch, South Haven, and Horn Lake. And I said, yeah, it would be great. And in fact, I already tried one. And there's a little town in a county next to us called Byhalia. And I, early on when I opened the studio over a year ago, at that time, my goal was to become the guy that cities go to create a podcast for them. And I scouted a bunch of cities in my county and abroad. And I landed on Byhalia because it's small. It's a small little community. It's got nice old school downtown. It's not a square. It's like a little strip. It's close, maybe 25 minutes from me. So I put my aim on Byhalia. What I forgot to mention is Wendy Johnson's jewelry store is in Byhalia. So she thought that was great. I called the podcast One Light Byhalia. I built a Facebook page. I joined the chamber in Byhalia and was starting to make myself visible, preach to the area of what I do, promote my business, ultimately, but announce that I was going to try to build a podcast for them. The problem is money. When I started The Real Hernando, it was a passion project, and its goal was to introduce me to Hernando. At the time, business was really great. I had the money to build the website, do all the front-end work, do a full year of episodes, all on my dime or the business's dime, with the goal of hopefully getting advertisers and sponsorships. And going into year two, a lot of businesses stepped up for me, and it made a dream reality. But that's another story for another day, how all that connected. So going into a different city, I had to start from scratch. And at the time, business was tight, and I just opened a studio. And I came to realize, why am I focusing on another city when I still have so much work to do in Hernando? I have The Real Hernando that I need to continue to build. I just joined the chamber as a board director. I just felt like there was a lot of room for A, improvement, but new entities, new creation, new ways to utilize what I do for my city, and money. So I backed out of it. I kind of put it on pause a long time ago. Well, meeting with Wendy, this comes up, and she got very interested and even threw it out there that she might be able to find someone that will, on the front end, put their name on it. And what that does is gives me seed money. It's almost like an investor. Someone that understands that that first quarterly payment that they give me won't get them any reach because it's giving me the money to create it. And then long term, build along with them. That's going to take a special kind of business, special kind of business owner that understands and gets it, sees the vision, and ultimately wants to support Byhalia. So, of course, I'm finding a business that would agree to this in Byhalia makes way more sense than in Hernando. The Hernando businesses, you know, we love all our cities around us and towns. But a business in Byhalia will want to get behind supporting Byhalia. So that was another good piece of our conversation. But I'm here to tell you, this is something I've learned the hard way, by the way, is getting overly excited early on. And often that can set you up for disappointment. If every pitch I gave hit and landed a job for me, then I'm living in a bizarro world because that's just not reality. But stemming from when I first started this journey in 2018 as a podcast producer, I would hang on everything because A, I really needed the work, but I was building something. It was very exciting at first, and it still is, but it's come to a point where you just learn, you be professional, you give the best presentation or pitch you can, you network as much as possible, you meet as many people as possible, you follow up as best you can. But at the end of the day, the majority of the time, it doesn't work out. Or someone can promise you some things and it just falls through. So I'm coming out of this meeting with Wendy with positivity, but keeping the expectations low. And that helps me not be so aggressive. I'm absolutely going to be following up with her. I will request more meetings just to talk through some things. But I'm not losing sleep on wishing and hoping that it works out. I very much want these things to work out. But it's business. Do what I can do best. Show them what I can. Show them how, you know, the quality of what it is I put out. And then follow up and move on to the next. So that's what I'm doing. And I will be following up with her next week as I record this. And we'll see how it goes. And I will keep you up to date on Wendy Johnson. Because I really do feel like I've really finally connected with someone that can help. And she gets podcasting. She understands it. She's in the world of content. And my main mission or my main message to her was, I think podcasting, or rather advertising on podcasts, are viable. I didn't really talk to her about trying to get new clients. It's all about finding businesses that want to advertise. So like I mentioned earlier, a business will go to her and she has packages and everything. And if you go full force with her, she'll get you on radio, print, television, YouTube ads, Facebook ads. Well, let's put podcasts on that list. Let's have her a pitch to them. And I can also get you on these podcasts that have large reach. This is the content. And get them on with me. And really elevate my executive produced entities, as I like to call them. The Real Hernando and the Rhythm Section. I don't want to get into the weeds on what that means for business, but I will say earning ad revenue is, quite honestly, sometimes feeling like you're printing money. It's a high profit. For example, Wesley Meadows is the title sponsor for The Real Hernando. They pay several thousand dollars for the year. They're in year number two. Well, year number one is when we made their ad. And they're happy with the ad. And they've just been cool with keeping it. So that was the only labor involved with that title sponsor. And then now my editor just puts in the ad. It's a pre-roll ad. Being the sponsor, their commercial comes first. And where's the labor in that? My editor is going to be editing the show anyway. What takes 2 minutes to add the ad? Not even. So all those dollars that come in will then pay for the editing. I have an assistant that helps me with all the social media. So there's a little bit of labor attached to this, but my goodness, there's so much profit that comes along with that. So that's really my love and the vision of the future of my business is to create a network of podcasts that I own that build audience and relationships with communities of varying types and bring in sponsors. So that is something that I would love to do to the degree where I can hire hosts. I can't host everything. I can actually pay a host. Rev share, figure out some deals. And this is how the big podcasts work. The big ones. They get hundreds and thousands and maybe millions of downloads per episode. You get the Rogans, you get the Your Mom's House, you get Two Bears, One Cave, you got, goodness, Bad Friends, on and on and on. I follow a lot of stand-up comedian podcasts, and that's what they do. They don't shop for advertisers on their own. They create deals with ad agencies that take a cut and they place ads on said podcasts. I want that. Obviously, it'll be at a smaller level. That's what I'm looking for. So I'll keep you up to date on all of that. The second half here, let's talk now. We're going to really change lanes here. And steaming curtains. So in my second room, I have two windows, rather large windows, that I have one on the north wall and one on the east wall. So it's like a corner, and then you got, you know, it's not like a window facing north and then another one south across from the room. No, there's a corner and then a window on each side of that corner. And I have a recording station right there, nice round table. I have a light hanging above us, and it's another Rodecaster. I have cameras plotted on the floor so I can get the right kind of angles. But the problem is those windows. And when I first started really using that corner for some of my own stuff, but also clients, there were no curtains. Could you imagine recording someone, filming someone sitting in front of a window? I mean, I have blinds, but I mean, still that natural light sinks in. And it made for pretty crappy video, but everyone understands. They see that I upgrade and I'm like, yep, I'm working on curtains. So curtains, then the curtains double up as backdrops. And tweaking the camera angles accordingly, which that's a whole other episode on working on cameras. I'm going to write that down in my journal. For the next episode, I want to talk about camera angles and the hell that can be. So I finally get some nice blue curtains that have some texture to them, blackout curtains. So I hang them up. All is good. But anyone that has bought curtains, whether it's for your house or whatever, you know, they're folded up in a package. So you break out the curtain and there's creases and wrinkles throughout all of them. But I hang them up, is what it is. So I had a section of time where when I would edit an episode from that station, regardless, you know, from various different podcasts, I would cringe. I cringe at the little things, and seeing those creases drove me nuts. And came to the realization that it's time to get a steamer. And my girlfriend, her name is LaShawn, is very supportive of me. And she bought me a beautiful steamer, a handheld steamer. It's called Turbo Extreme Steam by Conair. And I should have a picture of this in my thumbnail, but it's a handheld gun-looking thing. Then you warm it up, add some water in the reservoir, click the button. You got to hold the button, and no, you don't, actually. And then it just starts spitting out steam. And you just try to add a little tension to the curtain and go up and down and back and forth and work on the trouble areas. And so I did that yesterday as I record this on May 3rd. And it went well, but it will need a few more rounds. But it really helps straighten things out. I'm going to hit it again. I have a film session there in that corner tomorrow morning. So I'm going to try to hit it one more time between now and then. And then it will look better. But I guarantee you, when I watch the next episode I edit from that station, I'll be like, oh, I missed that wrinkle. I missed that crease. But over time, as I continue to hit the curtain with the steamer, the extreme steamer, that is, turbo, it will be a beautiful thing. The original, or the curtains that I have in my original room, my first room, which is where I'm recording right now at my desk, just recording at my desk, got a Rodecaster at my desk, and very simple. Actually, you probably noticed a lot, if you go back to the last episode, it was video 2, and I just realized this podcast really isn't meant for video. I just want to get on here and yap into the microphone and not worry about being on video. So this will continue to be an audio-only podcast. But when I hung the curtains in my first room close to 2 years ago, they were wrinkled. They had creases. I would see them in episodes, but I never got a steamer. I don't know why. But I will say, after 2 years, the wrinkles and creases are gone just by the weight eventually stretching them out. And I think the sun coming in, because it's a very big window in Studio One, and it faces due east. So that sun just barrels in, even though there's blinders in between the curtain and the window. Still, it brings some heat in. The curtains will get warm. And I think between that and then just the natural weight of itself hanging, the curtains are now beautiful. And took 2 years, but I'm not waiting 2 years for my other curtains. So, well, that's it, y'all. I'm going to keep this at 20 minutes-ish. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more about my business, it's srpstudiosllc.com, audio and video podcast production, therealhernando.com, therhythmsectionpod.com. If you want to go check those entities out, those shows out, there's a lot of great content. Each podcast is well over 50 episodes now apiece, life is good. So I appreciate you listening and engaging. I'm glad to be back in this way. I can already tell this is more fun than the last handful of formats that I've tried with this podcast. This is back to the roots. This is what I did when I first started this podcast, and I would say the first 30 or so episodes was just this, talking, no music, raw, and organic. So thanks again, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon.